Okay. We'll continue on over in Galatians. And we're in chapter 5. And Paul's been dealing with the situation there in Galatia where false teachers have come in and spread a false gospel, which of course then is no gospel at all. And that a man must be circumcised to be saved. A man must, you know, become a Jew to be saved. A man must place himself under the law to be saved. Brother, we're saved by nothing but the grace of God. We're saved by nothing but the atonement of Jesus Christ. There's nothing in us. There's nothing we can say. There's nothing we can do. There's no prayer you can repeat. There's no decision you can make. It's all by the grace of God. And it's all by the completed atonement of Jesus Christ. And Paul's hoping to bring these points home. And where he's encouraged in chapter 5 here, the saints in Galatia, to verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We're free from the law of sin and free from the law of death. That doesn't mean we're free to do whatever we want to, or we're free to live like the world. And Paul wants to make sure that corrective is understood by the saints in Galatia as well. Over the years, I've heard people say, well, you know, I got saved. It doesn't matter how I live. You know, I really got to wonder if somebody can talk that way, if the Lord's ever really saved them. It don't matter how I live. I got saved. I'm going to heaven anyway. I wouldn't count on it, honey. But, you know, the Lord knows that. I can't look at their hearts. But if the Lord saves someone, it's going to be manifested in their life. It's going to show forth. There's going to be fruit. And Paul's going to get into some details here. He's going to talk about the fruit. Talk about the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. And in this life, we're never completely sanctified. None of us become sinless. Some of us are further from it than others. But the Lord's working in the lives of His people to conform them to the image of His Son. But that old man's still in there. The Lord's implanted a new man, and He's given us a new heart, but we still must war against the old man. We must war against the old nature. And Paul's encouraging the saints there in Galatia to do that. And you see, being free from the law of sin and death is what gives us the ability by the grace of God and by the work of the Spirit to undertake those things. And it's all by the Spirit. So we looked at those things this last several weeks. Let me just read down, starting in verse 13. I think we finished off in verse 17 last week. Finished off verse 16. Paul says in verse 13, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. The liberty we have in Christ isn't an occasion or an excuse to live after the flesh, to follow our lusts. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Brethren, how we live our lives will manifest our love for brethren. And that love for the brethren is predicated upon our love for God. The Lord Himself said, you know, you can kind of boil it down to two things, love God and love your neighbor. And if you love your neighbor truly, as you ought, that love for God has to have been there, because that's the basis for that sort of love. But all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And He says, but to the saints in Galatia, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You see, we're sheep. We're the Lord's sheep. Sheep don't fight with one another. I know goats do that, and dogs do that, and antelope do that, but sheep don't really fight with one another. It's not really natural. We're the Lord's sheep. We ought not be at war with one another, bite and devour one another. It's like those, if you don't watch them sometimes, those chickens out there that we got, they'll eat each other, you know? Sheep don't do that. That's not the nature of sheep. And so, it ought to be manifested in how we get along with one another, that we're the Lord's. And then in verse 16 he says, this I say then, how do we overcome this battle? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. We continue to struggle against that old man, but if we walk in the Spirit, and that speaks of, you know, where we walk, where we have our existence, our manner of living, our manner of life. And I think I spoke last week about, you know, learning to live in the presence of God. Learning to live in an attitude of prayer. I'm not going to say I'm an expert on all this, you know? But I know that that's the way it ought to be, and I know when I approximate it, things are a lot better. Learn communicating with God. Walk in the Spirit. Really, the Spirit is here. God is here. Somebody's watching. Boy, in this day and age, you know, Big Brother's watching. I mean, you can't go anywhere that you're probably not under surveillance. But somebody a whole lot more important than Big Brother's watching. The Lord in heaven's watching. And if we keep that in mind, if we live in the presence of the Spirit, if we walk in the Spirit, He gives us the power not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the lust of the flesh is still there, see. That's why Paul said, if it was gone, he wouldn't have to address this. It's still there. Our inclinations to evil and to wrongdoing. And then, down in verse 17, where we left off, I think, last week, Paul explains again, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. The battle continues on. The struggle continues. Listen, these two things aren't friends. There's no compromise. There's no peace between them. There's a war between the Spirit and the flesh. Too many folks live today like, you know, well, I've made peace with my flesh. I've made peace with my lusts. You know, I was reading something. They send me free copies of some of these trashy magazines like Christianity Today, you know, and they'll be there in the box at the church mailbox. I was reading that today. Some gal that supposedly converted from Mormonism. Well, I hope she did. But she's in there. She's talking about, you know, this fellow that she met, and then they're having illicit relations together and all. He's a born-again Christian, right? And folks, there's something wrong there. You can't find peace between the flesh and the Spirit. So, well, no, the Lord uses all sorts of things. I understand that. And the Lord works in all sorts of things. I mentioned before in my previous life, you know, I was in the Marine Corps. I'm not proud of that. I don't want anybody to thank me for my service. My only service was to the evil empire. But the Lord used all those things. The Lord used things in my life. Some of them I wouldn't want to talk about. Some of them I wouldn't want you to know about. But the Lord used things in my life, you know, to bring me to where I am today. But that doesn't justify any of them. And you can't find peace between the flesh and the spirit. They struggle against one another. The flesh here refers to the old man, to the old nature. It's not just talking about these, you know, flesh and bones. You know, that's gift forgot from God. I mean, our flesh, our bodies are a gift from God. We should treat them like such. But you know what? They wear out and they get old. I've been noticing that more and more lately. But you're not talking about your skin and bones and your sinews. Now, when he refers to the flesh here, he's talking about that old man, that old nature that remains yet in this life. It remains, and listen here, it wants to reign. It wants to be in charge. It wants to run the show, because it always did before. It wants to take preeminence. That's the necessity for the struggle. Because there's the spirit that he refers to here, which is the new man, which is the new nature, which is created by the Spirit of God within us. Very familiar passage to all of us in Ephesians 2, where Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." We're saved by the grace of God. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Brethren, it's all the gift of God. That faith you exercised was the gift of God. And it's not the faith that saved us, but it's the faith that God used to allow us to embrace that gospel of our salvation. Jesus Christ that saved us and his atonement. "But by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works." Same thing Paul's talking about in Galatians. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." But then he continues in verse 10 there in Ephesians to make the point that he's here making in chapter 5 of Galatians. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," listen, "unto good works." We're his workmanship. We've been formed by him. And we've been fashioned unto good works. We're not saved by works. Paul just finished saying that. "But we're saved unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God has already determined these things. This is how Christians ought to live. This is how Christians ought to exist. But God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So there's a struggle in all of our lives. In your life, especially in this preacher's life, I know about that one more than any other. But those struggles that continue on. And Paul speaks of it here. Paul, you know, the great apostle. Paul, a man mightily used of God. Paul, a man who wrote a greater portion of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Spirit. That man, Paul, writes in Romans 7. He writes as a Christian. He writes as an apostle. He says in Romans 7 in verse 14, "For I know that the law is spiritual." Listen, there's nothing wrong with God's law. You know what's where there's something wrong? With me. There's something wrong with man. God's law is spiritual. He says, "For I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." You know, because of what we are, the law can't save us. It was never intended really for that, But even so, because of what we are, there's no way that the law could save us. The law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. And then he says this, and I think every true child of God can identify with this, and more so as we go on in our lives. Paul says, "For that which I do, I allow not. And for what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Man. The apostle said, this struggle goes on. And the things I want to do, I can't. The things I don't want to do, I do. The struggle continues. But here's the difference. Just as Paul does here in Romans 7, the true child of God, the true Christian, agonizes over those things. I mean, you can read the agony of Paul in these words. You know, it's like pulling his hair out. I don't have a whole lot left to pull out, but it's like he's pulling his hair out. He said, that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that I do, and what I hate, I do not. And what I do, that what I hate, I do. Continues on in verse 16. He says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent that the law to the law that it is good. You know, the law is good. God works in the life and conscience of his child. And it, you know, that I don't want to do it, that's indication that I'm a child of God. And that's an indication, an affirmation of the law of God. For then if I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now there's a new man. We've been regenerated. We're a new creature. And yet there's that agonizing struggle. It continues. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Again, he's talking about the old man, the old nature. He's not talking about these flesh and bones. You know, you get to where the ascetics and the monks and other folks, you know, they flagellate themselves, and you know, they beat on the old flesh and trying to make it better. You can't make this old flesh better. But it's not the external flesh and bones. You know, in some cultures, folks go out and crucify themselves on Easter. You know, it's like beat themselves with whips. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about that old nature, that evil nature, that fallen nature within us. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good. For to will is present with me. Now, that's an indication of a child of God. That implanted desire. Paul says, to will is present with me. And those folks, again, that tell me, well, it don't matter how I live. I say, you know, they're indicating there's no will there even to do what's right or to follow after right. Or there's no conscience from God. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Brethren, you can't do right. But we'll get to the answer to that. The Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit can give power to the children of God. But you can't do right. And the more you try to do it in your old flesh, the more you'll fail. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Which is, again, is not an excuse. Paul, this is a great regret that Paul's expressing. It's almost a mourning that he's expressing. He's not trying to give an excuse. Well, not really me. You know, there were some false teachers, even back in the first century. You know, that taught, well, you know, here's the flesh and the spirit. It don't matter what the flesh does, because your spirit's been saved. And That's exactly the opposite of what Paul's talking about here. He's agonizing over that. He says in verse 21 then, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. The old man is strong. And the old man, the old flesh, the old nature cannot be overcome by the strength of the flesh. You see, that really wouldn't make sense, would it? I mean, you struggle in your own strength. You struggle by your own flesh. You know, we try really hard. There were things in my life at one time, and you know, when I got out of walking with the Lord, and you know, tried to overcome them, put them away. And that's the harder you try, the more you fail. At least that was my experience. Until I realized that I couldn't do it. And that's when we have to stop trying and start trusting. To start trying and start trusting in the power of the Spirit. And start trusting in what has already been finished and accomplished on Calvary's cross. Not just our atonement, but that we would be His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so, verse 22, Paul says this, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. See, I can't think about that without turning to you and wanting to smile, Brother Howe. But Brother Howe thought I'd get in trouble one time because I was preaching about the inward man. And he thought, he didn't really think I was saying it, but he thought I was maybe saying the inward man. You know that word that nobody can say? Like the inward man. No, the inward man. Okay? So now I've messed everybody up. Now that's what you always think too. So there you go. I thought that was kind of... For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You know, that new creation that's within us. That's what we do. That's what causes us to strive and to desire after those things. But that struggle, that battle's going to go on in this life. And this is the testimony of a true child of God. Those that say it doesn't matter how I live, you know, I'm not so sure about those. And those that say, I've arrived, I don't have these struggles, yeah, I kind of wonder about those folks too. Paul says this struggle's going to go on. This battle's going to go on. That's the testimony of a true child of God. And that's not the testimony of a reprobate. That's not the testimony of a mere professor of religion. You know, by and large today, Christianity, most churches, probably most churches that even claim to be of like faith and practice, everybody wants to go to heaven, but they all want to live like hell. You know, that's the way we exist today. It's the world we live in. And Paul says, you know, I'm not so sure about that. Now, I can't look anybody's heart. I know that those that are His, He will save and eternally, and He'll bring to Himself. But there should be some evidence. And then Paul continues there in Romans 7. He says, in verse 23, but I see another law in my members. Or another principle here he's speaking of. And my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me in captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he cries out, the apostle, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And I think the true child of God, you know, that's a daily cry. The Christian is tormented by his own weakness, by his own proneness to sin. And I think more and more every day as we go on, Paul writes these words as a Christian. He writes them as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't want to leave you all depressed and on the end note, Paul goes on. Folks, there is victory. It's only by the grace of God, and it's only by the power of God. He continues on there in verse 25. After he says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. The victory indeed is to be had through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Learning, as Paul says here, surrendering to walk in the Spirit, to live in that atmosphere. The Christian is marked by his walk in the Spirit, however imperfect it may be. And then Paul continues in the next verses in chapter 8 of Romans, in verse 1. You know, when Paul wrote this, he didn't write down chapters and verses. He just wrote out a letter. So his next thought just flows right on. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for the saints of God. To those that are in Christ Jesus. And when did they get in Christ Jesus, you suppose? When they walked an aisle and made a decision? No. We were chosen in Him, what's the Scripture say, before the foundation of the world. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then Paul goes on to describe these folks. Give you a picture of what these folks look like. They're in Christ. He says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They're not in Christ Jesus because they walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. They walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh because they are in Christ Jesus. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It's all the work of God. The more you struggle in the flesh, the harder you try in the flesh, the more you're doomed to failure. It's all by the work of God. And so Paul says here in this verse, and we'll have to continue on with it next week, but he says there in this verse in chapter 5 and verse 17 of Galatians, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Listen, these two are enemies. The old nature and the new, the flesh and the Spirit, there can't be any accommodation. There's no middle ground. There's no compromise. There's no treaties. There's no ceasefires. They're bitter enemies. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand that the need to lean on the Spirit, to rely on the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, that there might be victory in these battles. And it's all by the grace of God. I'm not telling you to try harder. That's not the solution. I'm telling you to trust more. To lean on the Spirit, to trust in God's Holy Spirit. And that's the only way, by walking in the Spirit, that we can overcome the old flesh, the old world. Okay, we'll take our hymnals this morning, and we'll turn to page number 398. Open my eyes that I may see. And if you like, you can stand as we sing this out this morning. Number 398, open my eyes.
Open my eyes that I may see the lapses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. sake for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to speak. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my eyes, that I may hear voices of truth, thou sendest clear. And while the waves fall on my ear, everything falls to disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will see. Open my ears, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my mouth and let me bear. Gladly children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the privilege to gather. Lord, we thank you for your everlasting love, for the work of the Spirit. Lord, for the knowledge that there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Lord, by your grace, by your will, they're manifested and that they walk by the Spirit. Oh, we cry out, oh, wretched man that I am, as we struggle with the old flesh and the old nature and the old man. And yet, Lord, we know there's victory in Christ. There's victory in the Spirit. For by your grace, may you mold and shape. Lord, may you bring us to trust more and to stop trying so much in the flesh. Or we live in confusing, wicked times. Oh, we can't account for what others may do, but by your grace, may we be that people that you would have us to be. In spite of what any others may say or do. Father, thank you for each one that's here. I pray your hand upon them in this coming week, that you guide and direct their steps. Father, we pray for our friends that need healing, for all those that need comfort, that you might be pleased to undertake. Lord, we thank you most of all that you were pleased to undertake the salvation of your people, those that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.